What is up, my kings and queens? It is Andrew Velasquez with another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to introduce you, our latest guest for season two, you guys. We made it. Oh my God, it's been such a crazy experience, but I'm loving every part of it. All right, so here we are, your one-stop shop things for all mindfulness, creativity. I wanted to ask you a favor. If you could go ahead into your ratings, your reviews, give us those stars. That way others like yourselves can most likely see this in their upcoming algorithms. Share with a friend. And that song you just heard, Mi Corazón, you can download wherever you stream your favorite music. All right, so today, you guys, I have the amazing, talented superstar Jordan Liberty, you guys. Jordan Liberty is one of the most sought-after makeup educators in the industry today, having completed over 70 events and masterclasses in 25 countries on five continents, from shorter demonstrations to keynotes, full notes, full workshops, and courses that last several days. His curriculum is unique, practical, and encourages engagement from all attendees. Liberty's full-day classes are the first to feature the live photo shoots demonstrations, the relationship between makeup and light, backed up by some of the top beauty brands in the industry. His classes cater to aspiring and seasoned professionals, but any beauty lover is welcome to join and will feel comfortable with the material. Tour dates will be announced soon on Jordan's social media and accounts and on his website, jordanliberty.com. You guys, welcome, welcome. Jordan, how you doing?
We made it through the pandemic. Honestly, like, the fact that it's even 2024 is just mind-boggling to me.
The world is open. It's back up. And how do you feel? Yeah. How does that hear listening to your bio and like all the hard work that you've done and the inspiring efforts? Your portfolio is amazing, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You know, it's exciting to go back on the road. You know, I really have not been doing much the last few years. I think I've done maybe two per year. And, you know, we're pre-recording this, but by the time this comes out, I'm hoping that we can be announcing the first six for this year, which is pretty wild for me. So it's like, once I made one announcement that we were doing Rome in March, it was like my inbox was like full. So I love that. And love it. You know, it'll be a nice shift, because I spent most of the pandemic, and a lot of people don't know this, that I'm a creative director. So I've been doing a lot of behind the scenes work, sort of revamping other companies and cool. doing some marketing consulting and stuff. So it's a little bit more fun to be on the road and be teaching. Yeah. And it's really what I love. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's like where you thrive. That's where you shine. And I feel that's where you really make that connection with your fan base, as they're seeing you in person, working your magic with your hands. And then you'll be able to have that connection with them and meet them and then inspire them in their classes as well. But let's go back. Let's rewind a little bit. What is the origins? Where are you from, Jordan? How was little baby Jordan Liberty growing up?
Oh, my God. Little baby Jordan. Yeah. So I was born and raised in the Midwest, but I like to say I was a hostage. And grew up in Ohio, but I had parents that were separated. And so I spent half the year living in Florida, because that's where my dad was for a while. And then Virginia, so like Richmond and DC area. And then eventually Philadelphia. And that was really what brought me to the East Coast after high school. You know, I grew up doing fine art, photography, 3D modeling by the time I was in middle school. You know, music production. I danced for 13 years, but I was really known as like a fine artist. So I would enter like adult art shows and like win in like sixth grade. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. I started to take a very strong interest in portraiture and eventually fashion, and thought I wanted to go to school for that. And, you know, started my college journey, and eventually I was on set and the makeup artist wasn't there, and I filled in, and before I knew it, I was doing like Fashion Week.
Incredible.
So I spent about 15 years in New York and Philadelphia, and then I came out to LA. So, and I think that's when things really blew up for me, was out here. You know, not so much the YouTube days, but really when I came out here and I started getting over my fear of public speaking and getting on stage, which was, that required a lot of alcohol.
So that's why I wanted to create the safe space for other creatives like ourselves and you, like you, to kind of break out of those inner saboteurs, those little voices that we often have. And I still have them to this day, right? But how did you overcome that one, that first masterclass, and how, and did you have a mentor, or was that like, you're just the opportunity that came at the right time?
I'm just a very anxious person in general. Like, I just have a lot of anxiety. So I think it's actually played in really well into my career because it's made me very meticulous, because anxious people tend to be very detail oriented in advance because it removes any possibility of the uncertain. And I think that's really helped inform my career in a lot of ways. But, I had a really bad experience in the fourth grade where I froze up in front of the entire school. And so at that point, I was like, I'm never going on stage for the rest of my life. And I had done my second cover. Maybe it was the, no, I think it was the second cover of Makeup Artist magazine and Bionic Beauty, this cover that I shot that I was madly in
I
love with at the
remember that
time
one. Yeah,
with the
that one
mask.
was so dope.
That model's like famous now. It's so crazy that like I worked with these two models in a row, and both of them are absolute superstars. And they were both like 14 or 15 at the time. But I loved that story, and it was something I'd wanted to do for a while. And Michael Key from IMATS called and was like, "Hey, would you want to do like a keynote or a demonstration?" I don't even remember if it was a keynote at IMATS New York. And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." Hung up the phone, completely had a panic attack. Absolute
Oh
meltdown. I was like, well, now I
my
have to do this. And just the idea of being in front of people for an hour freaked me out so much. And I remember I didn't sleep for like 3 weeks beforehand. And I had a strategy for it though. Again, just like trying to like kind of preemptively fight anything that could, possibly go wrong, like anticipatory anxiety. And I first of all had a colleague come up on stage with me to possibly ask questions in case I had what
Smart.
they call Walt Disney moment, where you just freeze, which is my biggest fear still, is just freezing and blanking. And that's what I tend to do when I get very nervous, is I'll entirely blank. And so I wore a pair of sparkly Gucci high tops because I thought,
Work.
okay, worst case, if I forget what I'm talking about, I can just draw attention to the shoes. I had a
And
friend
you were
on
comfortable.
stage, and yes, and they were gorgeous. And then what was the last thing? Oh, and then I drank a lot of champagne before I went up there, because I thought, okay, if I'm a little drunk, I'll be like a little bit loosey goosey. So if anybody saw that performance, I was about three glasses of champagne in, and
That's a
really didn't eat
secret.
a lot that day. Yeah, but it was like
Oh.
once I made it through the first demo, like I did forget what I was talking about almost immediately, and I was like, you guys, I forgot what I was talking about, but don't you love my shoes? And everyone laughed. And I think it was
Hey.
once that happened, it was like I the fear was just gone. Like, I think after that, I did IMATS Toronto 3 months later, and I remember talking to the same people that saw me a nervous wreck in New York, and they're like, "Are you nervous?" I said, "I'm nervous that I'm not nervous. Like, I was fine." So it's just very weird how like very few times since have I ever felt nervous, and I think the only times I have is when I felt very unprepared.
Incredible. No, I love that. I mean, you're bringing back the human experience and the connection to your audience, right? Where it's like, hey, I'm gonna fuck up a little bit. Let me put you on this ride with me. And at that point, they're gonna relate to you more because you're real. It's you're being your authentic, true self, and you're taking what you love, your passion, and knowing and trusting that the process is gonna like fulfill and help others and inspire them, which you did. Bravo, congratulations. And then
Well, it's that humanity though that you're talking about that I think has allowed me to. I'll be coming back to, hopefully I can say, Ecuador for the fourth time,
Dang.
third time, third time.
Ecuador.
Which is, I love Ecuador. It's actually tattooed on my body. My favorite place in the
Nice.
world is the Galapagos. But I think I get asked to come back because I do like to relate to the audience a bit more, and I do like to have that human interaction. And if I forget what I'm talking about, I'm like, all right, this is a test. What was I just talking about? And see who remembers. Like, I like
It's
those kind of moments,
interactive,
but also like I don't like to come out on stage. Like, I think, and I don't want to shade any other artists, and everyone has their own style, but I don't subscribe to that whole like I'm the most important person in the room because I'm on stage, and how great am I, and let's just talk about like my amazingness. Like, I like to come out and be practical and be real and be humble. And I always say, I even said this in Venezuela in November. Like, I'm here with probably the best talent in the country. Like, every single one of you in here can do what I'm doing right now. I'm going to explain how I got to where I'm at here and the way that I like to do things, but I absolutely don't have all of the right answers. And I think, just having that moment with them where it's like we're kind of on the same level. Like, I don't even get, I'm very uncomfortable if the stage is too high. Like, I've been called a diva before because I don't like a stage that's too high, because I'm like, then it feels like I'm talking down. and they're less likely to interact. And that's just human psychology, right?
Yeah.
It's like when you're dealing with kids, you're supposed to get at their level, because when you stand over people, it you know, puts you above them physically, but also it kind of can be intimidating. So, you know, it's that sort of humanity that I really enjoy about the touring the most, is actually getting to see their amazing work and just kind of sharing with them and learning from them as well, you know.
That's so special. And I love that you almost want to be on the same level with them to make that eye contact. And I feel that for a viewer to be able to actually be able to see the technique and the connection that you have with the model as it's progressing throughout the class, I mean, they're going to be able to appreciate that more. And that, no wonder they keep coming back and keep requesting you, is because it's that experience. Like, you made an impact in their lives, so they want to remember that, and they continue to remember that and want to experience it again. So good job with that. Growing up, who was your mentor? Did you have anybody that you looked up to, or any other artists that you kind of aspired? Like, what kind of, I know that you were a portraiture artist and a fine, is that your artwork in the back too? It's really beautiful, by the way.
Oh, no, it's not. This is from West Elm or CB2.
Okay, cool.
I don't keep a lot of my art in the house, I don't think.
You should.
It's weird.
You should.
It's weird. It makes me feel weird. It's funny. I've got some beautiful photographs over here that aren't mine. I keep mine in books. Like, I have all my books from the places that I've been. So I do all
That's
these
smart.
Photos from.
Less
damage.
But
I keep them. Yeah, I keep them in these beautiful hardbound books. And, you know, if anybody wants to peruse, then they can. But then I can put them away, because I'm way too hypercritical of myself, you know.
Gotcha. So were your parents creative too, or did you have anybody? They were awesome. What kind of art did they do?
Both my parents are fantastic artists. My father did really well with colored pencil, like very fully rendered, you know, very, you know, beautifully layered colored pencil. My mother, amazing at portraits, actually, funny enough.
Very cool.
And so, you know, it's weird. I had a very interesting, very strange, very inconsistent life. But the one thing that was always very, I feel very fortunate about, is that nobody ever talked me out of being an artist. Nobody ever tried to steer me in a different direction. Even if
you
they didn't
the
really know what to do with me, they kind of, they encouraged that. And I think, again, going back to just like that human part of like touring, I'm not the type of person that'll go on stage and be like, believe in yourself. That's useless advice. Or, you know, being unique is what makes you special. I call it Disney advice. I'm like, yeah, it sounds great in spirit, but it's so generic. Like, I'm an action plan kind of guy. And I think I've always been that way. And yeah, I mean, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but once I did, it was like 0 to 100.
Yeah, that's so dope. Good job. I commend you with that. I wanted to ask, what kind of practices or routines do you have in place to nurture your creativity? Are you spiritual in any way while running your business?
I am not a very spiritual person. But I do find a lot of peace and comfort in nature. And I think that is, in its own way, a form of spirituality, I
Absolutely
guess.
Absolutely it is,
I think for me, like, I believe in reincarnation, because our bodies die and then we end up in the soil and that energy gets transferred. So I do believe in a lot of things that have parallels in spirituality. But I think for me, like, if I'm feeling very uninspired, I like to get my shoes and my socks off and put my feet on the grass, you know, not in this neighborhood because too many people walk their dogs, but,
right.
But, you know, like, it's so great to be able to just go outside and actually connect to the earth, you know? And, you know, I mentioned earlier that my favorite place in the world is the Galapagos, and a lot of friends kind of didn't understand at first. And like, why would you like
I'm
it there?
I'm obsessed with those islands too.
Rocks and animals.
I've never been.
Oh my God, you have to
go. I'm fascinated.
I've been twice. Ugh. It's my entire right leg is tattooed with a scene
so
from.
So lucky. I want to go there and to Madagascar. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh no, I get that. I mean, there's a lot more things that can kill you in Madagascar.
Totally.
Galapagos is incredibly safe. But what I love about it there is I always feel like I'm at home. And like at one point I was like, can I move here? And they're like, not unless you're born and raised in the Galapagos, or you marry somebody in the Galapagos.
Correct.
So yeah. And the dating apps were not exactly firing. In the Galapagos Islands.
Are you an earth sign?
I am. Yes.
When's your birthday?
Taurus, April
27th. Cool. Nice. Yeah. I'm an earth sign too. Yeah. So I feel that earth signs are typically drawn to Mother Nature in general, just because
you just had a birthday. You said Capricorn.
Yeah. It grounds us. So Mother Nature is always like very comforting for all earth signs in general, from what I experience. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And now I'm really going to go to Galapagos, because like, I've just been obsessed with those islands for a long time.
Do it by boat.
Okay. I'll put that in my notes
because
for sure.
you want to be able to hop the islands. The first time I just stayed in a hotel and then did excursions from the hotel.
Right.
But the second time when I was on the catamaran, we really get to bounce around.
Yeah.
That
I
was
want to
really
be like
cool.
immersed in all of it. Like, yeah. Can you share any tips or advice for aspiring entrepreneurs looking to incorporate more creativity into their work?
What do you mean? Like trying to like find inspiration for like,
sure.
a business that they're trying to build, or just trying to like reinvigorate?
Just because we have so many different types of creatives that listen. Some of them are makeup artists, some of them are hairstylists, some of them are photographers, mm-hmm. models. I think just anybody creative in general that is an entrepreneur that is wanting to find creativity. Like how do you find your inspiration and creativity?
Yeah. So, well, I'm like on apps, I like save everything. Like I'm an avid, like hit the save. And then I have albums for everything. Photography inspiration, makeup
Love
inspiration,
that.
Hair inspiration, you know? And then if I'm feeling like I have a shoot coming up, I don't know what to do. Like I'll scroll through that album.
Cool.
Cause you know, I used to just screenshot it. And then I had 128,000 screenshots on my phone and I'm never going to go through that. But if I keep albums that are like more organized, like it takes an extra second when you're hitting that save button, cause you got to like,
smart,
you know, click it an extra time, but it's worth it. And the other thing that I've been challenging myself is not to do the same thing twice.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm feeling uninspired, or I feel like my work's getting stagnant, I'll try something new. Like I haven't done Halloween in a while. And this year I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do Halloween. And I was like, I've never done a mermaid. I've never done an alien. So I was like trying to do things that I had never done before.
Very cool.
And it ended up being like some of my absolute favorite work of the year.
Dope.
For sure.
So like challenging yourself and just making sure that you're reinventing your craft, your portfolio with that.
Yeah. But with like a focus in mind, like for me, I'm like, I know that this is the direction I want to go in, and, you know, I want to create more work that feels original, but still familiar. Or like Halloween, like I don't like to recreate. Like I think one of the years we had to do a Harley Quinn look, but the brand called it comic misfit, so that they didn't get sued, and it was like an exact replica of Harley Quinn, and like that's not the stuff I like to do because I'm like then I'm not really being creative because I'm copying somebody else, and so that was what was fun about thinking about how I wanted to take on a mermaid or an alien, but choosing a more generic topic and then finding my own avenue into it. So something that feels familiar and recognizable, but in a new direction. I think the first time I did that was my Diamond Sugar Skull in 2014. And now you can't escape them. It became a massive trend, but it was like the first time I created that. I was like, what hasn't been done? I remember Googling every combination of like Diamond La Katrina, Crystal La Katrina, you know what I mean? Like trying
and
to
you
see
didn't
if
see
someone
it.
Had done it before.
Right.
And I was like, all right, well, because I'm not seeing it, I want to do it, you know? And that was it with this alien. I wanted to create something that, again, I that you recognize what it is, but it's something new, you know?
So dope. Just giving it that Jordan Liberty like flair. That's so cool. All right. This leads me into how do you measure success in both your creative entrepreneur pursuits, and do they ever overlap?
That's changed a lot for me. I think, you know, going through chemotherapy changed a lot of that.
Yeah.
I think the pandemic changed a lot of it. And, you know, I've just had some very interesting experiences. I was held hostage in a country. It's been a whole thing. But I think, you know, success for me is now measured in the relationships that I build. I don't really think of success in a way where I really look at outside validation. Even like with the work that I create, like if I'm proud of it or I enjoy it, or
that's all that matters.
Or maybe it helped inspire somebody else to do their best work, then I think that's probably, you know, the best kind of success I can hope for. You know, I think when I started to get out of my head that I don't need to be the next, you know, Kevin Aquan or whoever people look up to, Pat McGrath, you know, I can be the first Jordan Liberty. I can be the first of me, and started to get out of my head that like, I don't need to impress other people as long as I'm impressing myself.
Yeah.
And I think that's the first advice I give is like, try not to compare yourself to others and look at success through the lens of society. And one of the best things about therapy is you learn how a lot of things that are considered cultural norms are actually really toxic and unhealthy, including
100%.
How we view success and fame and money and all those things that you know we associate with you know with having a successful life. And I think, you know, I've been fortunate enough to go through those terrible experiences. Not that I'd want to repeat them, but I think fortunate in that it helped me to sort of see and recognize what's most important about the work that I do.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that about therapy, because I'm a huge advocate of therapy. I've been going to therapy since I was the age of 15. So it's cracked me in my whole life. It's the best, right? Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I mean, it's not fun at first when you're diving deep and going back, but you talked about not wanting to impress others or doing the work for really for yourself. And I often think of little 10-year-old myself, you know what I mean? That little 10-year-old boy that was once just innocent and just still like excited about so many different things. Not that I'm not, but I want to impress that little kid. Like, so I think about that little 10-year-old Andrew and I want to give him a hug.
That's such a therapy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. it can be heavy. It can be, and because those ages can be traumatic, you know, especially as a member of the LGBTQ community and just not being completely out at that age, that obviously. But yeah, I think about him and I think about wanting to just like hold him and just make him proud, you know? So thank you for sharing all those vulnerable moments. And I'm proud and happy that you have survived and you're healthy and you're doing well and you're not held hostage anymore and you're free and can just spread your story and your energy and your craft that, you know, inspires so many others. So thank you.
I'm gonna write a book someday. It's gonna be a page turner. I'm gonna tell you.
Hey, if you need help, I got you. I got one right there. So
I do. It's so funny. I had a book agent in 2019 pre-pandemic and we had planned to do this whole it really revolved around the 2020 tour. 36 cities. Woo, I made it to three. But yeah, 2020 there was a lot. There was actually a documentary that was being filmed that year and everything. I mean, that was going to be the year where I really told the story, but you know, they say everything happens for a reason. I don't know if I always believe that. You know, I do to some extent feel like life is chaos and it's unpredictable, but, you know, now that we've been through the pandemic and now that my thinking has shifted so much just since then. So maybe it just wasn't the right time, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. No. And that's part of the journey, right? I think as creative people and just the human experience in general is the Jordan that was at that point with maybe not going to be well prepared for the tour that is happening this year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think all those experiences might shape you and each scenario prepares you for the next one to level you up.
I'm honestly so excited about it, though. I just, you know, this is a weird month because we were supposed to announce everything last month. So, you know, I'm actually really excited. This is the first time I've been excited in a while about anything. So
I'm so happy for you. What is the tour called?
It doesn't really have a name. Usually I just do it by year, you know, or season. In this case, we're technically calling it spring, although one of the dates is in July, which we might not be announcing. I'm hoping that it'll be six. If it's anything less than six, I'm going to be a little disappointed, but it could be five or four, but ideally six would be amazing. And one of them is a cruise, which I've never done. Like at first they said it's going to be a cruise. And I thought, okay, it's like a dinner cruise, you know, it's like around a harbor, you know, and then they gave me the name of the boat. And I was like, oh no, this goes to like the whole Western Mediterranean. It goes to three countries. It's a week long. Cool. It's a 4,000 person cruise ship with a casino. I was like, oh my God. So of course I was like, absolutely yes, I'll come. You know, like, twist it. But so that'll be a new experience. So I'm excited that this year I'm getting to do not only some new places, but also like I've never done a 2-day hands-on masterclass on the other hemisphere, right?
Sure.
You know, and this will be my first one in Italy, and that's where I'm starting. So. And then I go right onto the boat and and then I'll go right from, and you know, coordinating it is harder than I think people realize because I'm working with different companies for everyone.
Yeah.
So it's like herding squirrels. Everything I do, I have to explain six different times through six different translators because there's so many different languages. So organizing a tour as a makeup artist is a lot harder than people realize. It's not like a music tour where you have one manager and one company and it's just doling out those same instructions. You know, to the different venues, but you're planning it overall. You know, with this, it's like, I'm chasing down the last two. Like, are we gonna be able to make the announcement next week?
You know, like, no, you have to wear multiple hats. You're not only a creative director, you're a manager, your operations, your customer service, your, you know what I mean, shipping and receiving for all the things that need to be received as well. So, but I mean, if anybody can do it, it's you. So you got this, and I'm excited for you. It's gonna be an awesome year. All right, you guys. So season two, we have a new segment that I'm really excited about.
The library is open! Because reading is what?
Fundamental.
There you have it, darling.
And it is called The Library is Open. So I want this area to be for the guests to share their favorite book and their top three reasons why. So go for it, Jordan. What is your favorite book at the moment and why?
Oh, well, it's not a new book, but I do go back to The Dressmaker. It's one of my all-time favorite stories. I don't know why I love it so much. They turned it into a movie starring Kate Winslet. It came out in 2016. It's on Amazon Prime, y'all. And it's one of my all-time favorite movies. And I'm gonna do a name drop moment right now, and I don't even care. I met Lisa Eldridge only a couple weeks ago here in LA.
Amazing.
And well, we've talked on social media a couple times, but she's not like, I don't have her number in my phone, you know. But you know, I would say she's a champion. When I sent her my palette, you know, she put it on her story, and it's just she's an artist, and I really appreciate that about her. And it's one of the reasons I admire her so much is, you know, she's very, you know, giving to other artists. But I got to meet her, and I had like a moment with her where I was like, I don't remember what I said, but I think we were talking about Kate Winslet, and I said, oh, and she's the star of one of my favorite movies based on one of my favorite books. And she goes, well, which one? And she goes, all right, I got The Dressmaker. And she's like, I can't believe you even know that movie. And then what I really loved in that moment was she shared with me that every time she's with Kate, she's like, she brings up that movie and how much she enjoyed making it. And that for me made me love it even more because her performance is so good in it. And she really brought that character to life off of the, it's literally a direct, copy of the text. Mm-hmm. There's not many changes. And I always appreciate that because I don't know if you read The Devil Wears Prada, but the movie's so much better. So much better.
Always. You know? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, not always.
But... I was going to say, but.
Those two are the exception.
Case, yeah,
right.
Definitely better. Yeah. Like Memoirs of a Geisha. I liked the movie, but I loved the book. Devil Wears Prada is one of the few where the movie I think superseded, and The Dressmaker, cool. I had already loved the book, and then once it was a movie, I think, you know, cinema is like it validated it. I think it's the best form of storytelling because it combines music and performance and art and writing and all of these other, you know, pieces and makeup and hair. Yeah. And I mean, there's just, it's such a great way to showcase talent and then editing, which you don't get with a stage performance. So, you know, I really tend to love the books that end up making successful films as well. Crazy Rich Asians trilogy. I can't wait for the sequel.
That's a good one. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I get it too. Because my favorite one is Ray Bradbury, Fahrenheit 451. And
why did I think you were going to say that?
To have seen that, like as a child, to have read it and then to like Denim listen to the. Yes. And then see it in
right?
person.
Was that it?
another one of his books, Martian Chronicles, which I'm obsessed with aliens too. Like I know that you are as well. Anything that's like sci-fi fantasy is like, that's kind of like my jam. So
I like revenge stories. I love female heroines. I love a good revenge story. Hence Dressmaker, one of my favorite.
It's satisfying.
I did that editorial based on Death Becomes Her, also a revenge story.
Nice.
Female leads. Yeah. Promising Young Woman is one of my all-time favorite movies. I don't know if you've seen it. Add it to the list. It's iconic. It's a romantic comedy thriller.
So you can get inspiration for your work through film and cinema as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's so
definitely
cool.
Do you ever see The Cell with Jennifer Lopez?
Oh, of course. Oh my God.
Such an inspiration legendary. For me. Oh my God. Tron, my palette that came up Darkroom was heavily, heavily embedded in Tron. I was very, very inspired by that. Even though the movie itself is okay, sometimes the visuals make up for it. You know?
How about The Fifth Element?
I love this. Oh, come on. Are you shitting me? Yes.
Yeah, that was a good one too. Yeah, I mean, I can keep going.
Good.
Yes, that's the hair, the makeup, the alien performance. Oh my God, so good.
Yes, and that Chanel mask that she puts on and it does her makeup.
Yeah. Oh, that's the future. It's around the corner. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe it's going to say Jordan Liberty on it.
I think it's going to cause people blindness. I think it's a lot of waiting to happen, but...
now that I think of it, SNL's makeup artist team did that not so long ago for the scene of I think it's the Swamp Girl. I forget which. Oh, no, it was the Cleopatra Egyptian makeup. And they just did it like a second where it was pressed, the camera turned, and then she came back and had this full like cat eye with smoking and stuff happening. I'm like, that's the future. It's just like a stamp. But You're so cool. This is fun. I'm so glad I got to meet you.
Those stickers.
They do have those stickers. Yeah.
I've never seen one use that and enjoy it, but
maybe at Coachella. Maybe at Coachella.
A lot of stuff happens at Coachella that shouldn't.
Yeah, that is true. This leads me into another favorite part of my podcast, which is called Wrapping Up Mindful Artist Rapid Q. So just wherever you are at the top of your head, answer intuitively.
This feels like a therapy exercise.
It's fun. It's very random, though. So question number one, Jordan Liberty, who is your hero and why?
Oh, Gianni Versace.
No.
He was growing up one of the only gay celebrities, businessman that was, oh God, I love him. My bathroom is all Versace themed. I have a picture of the Versace mansion. And he created new ways of making fabrics. I mean, he really revolutionized sort of modern fashion. And he was just somebody I thought, like, I want to be like that someday. Like, he was just out and proud and successful and like respected. And he's
awesome. Did you go to his restaurant yet?
Yes, I've been to the mansion. I stayed in the hotel in Dubai. Like, I'm a little bit crazy. Yeah.
Okay. I love that. Good answer. Question number two, wrapping up my Fortis Rabbit Q's. What is your favorite music album of all time?
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. It's got to be one.
It can only be one album.
You're on a deserted island. You have a Discman with one CD.
Well, that's not fair because like current stuff is the stuff I'm really listening to. But then there's the timeless that I feel like will never get old.
Okay, I'll give you two because you're special. How about Baby Jordan's favorite?
Baby Jordan's favorite, TLC, Crazy, Sexy, Cool, or Fam Now. But I think probably Crazy, Sexy, Cool. It's such a vibe. You know, when you think of like 90s, like that's the vibe.
From the first track to the last track.
Whole album. It's just incredible. Oh man, I don't know. All right. Well, okay. And I'm a big Sia fan. So
yeah, she's great.
This is acting. I really enjoy, but maybe A Thousand Forms of Fear.
Yeah. Good choice. Yeah. I knew you were going to pick something cool. Yeah. From beginning to end, you just got to let it go. All right. Question number three, Jordan Liberty, wrapping up Mindful Artist Rapid Cues. What is your favorite quote of all time?
Oh, I have a few of those too. Okay. People don't remember what you say. They remember how you make them feel. I remember that every time I go on stage. It doesn't matter if you say everything right or whatever. And I say this with my clients too, and to any of the, you know, professionals listening. Like, when you have a model in your chair, she's not going to remember everything you say, but she's going to remember how you made her feel at the end.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know this in makeup, our clients, first thing they do when they sit down is insult themselves. Oh, God, I hope you can do something with this, you know, bags under my eyes, or, oh, I got this zit you're going to have to cover. You know, I like to take that moment and change the narrative and say, well, what do you love about your face? Like, what's your favorite feature?
There you go.
And oh, my eyes. Oh, well, you've got beautiful eyes. Have you ever thought about wearing like maybe like purple tones, or, you know, maybe a blue to go with your outfit? Like, get them engaged in the process in a more positive way. And, you know, if you can leave that positive impression with somebody else, that's what's going to last. It's not really about saying the right thing or always doing the right thing. But, you know, again, just if people want to be around you, they want to spend more time with you, you know.
Good job. I love that.
Cheesy.
Thank you so much.
It's cheesy, but I love it.
It's heartfelt and it's sincere, because it is. And we do that to ourselves all the time. Like, I know you can relate. Like, before we, you know, started hitting record, I'm like, oh, is the light okay? Is the background okay? So it's just reassuring and validating that human experience and making sure that they feel amazing as they're leaving. So thank you for sharing that. All right. So this is your time to plug all the things. Tell us what is happening. What, make your announcement. Where can we see you? What can we do? How can we follow?
Well, I don't know what's happening, but I'm excited to be back on tour this year. Italy, Brazil, Ecuador, Mexico, Poland for the first time. I'm looking to come back to America. All those dates are on my website, jordanliberty.com. I don't really have too much else happening that people can see other than just a lot of work that's about to come out. I actually might be in New York here working soon. I'm just excited about all of these amazing opportunities in front of me for 2024. This is probably the most promising year I've had in a while. I think we've all been through that sort of, moment. So I'm feeling more inspired than ever. And, And I feel like I got my old self back. So if anyone has been missing my work, because I've not been posting as much, that will certainly be changing soon. So.
And that's okay too, to have like a little bit of a digital detox and take a step away to focus on your mental health and come back reinvented and refreshed. I'm actually doing that right now too. I'm on a 30-day reflect, reset energy cleanse that is I would love to do the digital detox as well, but I'm relaunching season two, but it's part of, I can't do all of it. So
you know what I'm saying? Good job of that right now.
Right, exactly. But I'm doing it another way. So it's just something that we got to do as creative people to like reset ourselves. So Jordan Liberty, you're a delight. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so grateful to know you and to have gotten to know you a little bit more and support your journey. And I can't wait to see what you're going to do this year and inspire the world and show your craft and your talent and just keep that portfolio growing, right?
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Jordan Liberty, go follow his website, go to his tour, sign up. I want to go on that cruise one. That one sounds so dope. And that song you're about to hear, Mi Corazón, is written by myself, produced by Aaron McLennan. You can download Mi Corazón wherever you download your favorite music. And for this podcast, make sure that you rate us, review us, share it with somebody that you love, so it's most likely to come out in their algorithms. You guys, go make an impact. And much love and light to you all. Till the next time, I'll see you. Bye, Jordan.
All right, bye.